action plan. So we'll move to 25, AIS Field Operations with Jake Davis.
Morning, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, Jake Davis, Fisheries Program Administrator. This morning, just have an update for you on our Aquatic Invasive Species Program as we are nearing our primary boating season, which we would define as Memorial Day to Labor Day. Just want to provide the Commission an update on our activities that we have currently ongoing and planned for this summer boating season, and also just our outreach and education efforts as far as AIS is concerned here in South Dakota. Given this update the last couple of years, just want to provide again just what we're planning and offer up any questions if the Commission has one once we reach the end. But again, this is something that we've... Thanks, Chris. There we go. Done on an annual basis. We started inspections in 2018, but we've done some efforts certainly prior to that point, but want to cover what's happening this year. I always like to start with a little background on aquatic invasive species in South Dakota, some of the challenges that we see with our state. Certainly not alone in this battle, but want to cover again something specific to South Dakota, cover our 2025 communications plan, cover what we have for actions this year in our 2025 operational plan, and then our outreach and education. This first slide here, one of the first challenges that I do want to mention, if you look at that picture, that is actually a zebra mussel on an individual's finger. So this is what our staff are looking for. This is one of the main challenges when we are conducting these watercraft inspections, specific to zebra mussels, is, you know, that's a pretty small individual. And so when we're conducting them, that's one of the challenges. And that's why we don't use watercraft inspection as our primary tool, just because it's certainly a tool in the toolbox, but they have not shown to be 100% effective. So one of the things, too, is I just want to talk about the history of AIS in North America. I'm going to use zebra mussel as our example, but on an annual basis, there are new species that are introduced, and on an annual basis, those species that currently exist continue to expand their range. It's just how things have gone over the years. So South Dakota is not unique as we see expansion within our state. This has happened in a lot of other locations across the country. The example I'll use, zebra mussels, this is USGS data. So if you look here on our map, I've shown this map before, but I always like to highlight it again. Mid-80s, you see those couple red dots in the Great Lakes, that's detection of zebra mussels. That red line is going to be what we consider our western expansion line. Fast forward to 2022, you can see those other lines, 96 and 2016. But essentially what has been seen is this consistent westward expansion. Now, zebra mussels in particular, the way that they generally expand is downstream dispersal. They get in a river system. They really have no motion or method of locomotion. They float downstream as juveniles attach, and so it's usually a downstream spread. However, you see here this western expansion. That is due to user-driven spread. And so as you can see, we're not unique in this expansion. We don't operate in a bubble, and so we are realistic with our approach. It's been going on for decades, so that's why our approach is to simply slow the spread. So I always want to cover that again, just because while we focus a lot on AIS in South Dakota, it's not a problem that's unique to South Dakota, so I want to make sure we cover it on a broader landscape. One of the also things that we deal with is South Dakota is very fortunate to have just a ton of aquatic resources. However, in the case of AIS, it kind of works against us just because we have so many access points, so many water bodies, and it makes a program on the ground in the field very challenging just with the sheer volume of access areas. Almost 500 ramps in the state, over 10,000 water bodies, over 10 acres, 11 primary entry points when you look at interstates and highways. It really just makes putting a program on the ground, we look at it as opportunistic and as a tool in the toolbox again, but nothing that is going to be something we can be everywhere all the time. It's just not realistic. So that's why we try and provide information education to the users so that they can implement best management practices. It really comes down to those users doing the things that they need to help slow the spread. So how do we do that? Outreach and education. We do feel that this is our primary tool because, again, we can't be everywhere all the time. But what we can do is try and provide the information, just a few simple things that folks can do every time they use the surface water of the state. And so with that, we try and use a lot of different techniques to reach everybody if we can. But it's a challenge. I mean, we're trying to change user behavior, but we have over the years looking at the metrics that we have, bolt plug compliance, things like that, just general knowledge. We're getting the word out, and folks are doing a really nice job, but we still need them to implement these practices every time they use a surface water in South Dakota. It certainly is a challenge. But our communications plan really outlines how we do this. We've been doing this plan annually since 2021. The reason we do it annually is because there's new techniques that come up that we want to capitalize, take advantage of new methods of reaching folks through media, social media, that sort of thing. And again, targeting those recreational users. We've been able to tailor them over the years. For example, what we were seeing in the field was jet skis, personal watercraft like that. We weren't reaching that group, so we were able to tailor specific messaging to that group, for example. That was an example of, again, getting information from our field staff, incorporating that into our AIS communications plan. We've also started an AIS Awareness Week in previous years. We'll be doing that again this year. That'll be the week leading up to Memorial Day. So AIS-specific content on a daily basis for that week leading up to Memorial Day. Some of our digital communication using social media, Facebook, Instagram. We've got a lot of different email lists that we utilize. Really, any time that you have somebody that signs up for an email list, provides it when they buy a license, or just signs up for general emails, we can contact them with AIS lists. Our newsletters that we have, again, any way that we can reach folks. And then our Go Outdoors acknowledgement. And so when folks buy a fishing license, they have to acknowledge, they have to read a paragraph on AIS and then sign an acknowledgement at the end. So again, just ways that we reach people. We also have in-person communication, physical signage. There's an example here on this slide that we'll put at water bodies that are positive for zebra mussels, for example. This is just one example. We also have a lot of different signs that will indicate if a water body has other species besides zebra mussels, because we do have those. We have vegetation, other invertebrates, we have fish species, and so we'll have signage at specific water bodies that designate what may be in that water body. We also use gas station TV. This is at 43 gas stations across the state. Just trying to cast a broad net as people are filling up with gas for their watercraft or their vehicle. They're able to see a quick AIS-related video there. Our watercraft inspections are certainly a good opportunity for us to deal one-on-one with folks. As I mentioned, they're not 100% effective. However, what they do offer is the opportunity for our staff to directly engage with a watercraft user. Allows for feedback. We hand out informational material. So, again, from an outreach and education standpoint, they are a very useful tool. Along with that, we're able to get some metrics such as boat plug compliance, as well as just sharing information. And then we show up at sports shows, community events. We provide a lot of different presentations throughout the year with AIS-specific content. Some of our print materials that we hand out, informational rack cards, advertisements, newsletters, different press releases and media throughout the year. I mean, really, just about any time throughout the year, you're going to see AIS content. And then we also have a communications kit that we can send to partners such as a lake association. So it's AIS-themed material that is already prepackaged for them. All they have to do is then distribute it to their members. So that was our communications plan. Moving to our operational plan, so this is what we're planning on doing for this year, outlining our field activities, and then with those, which GFP staff or partner is going to be taking responsibility for getting those done. So detecting and monitoring for AIS is a big part of our program. We want to have as up-to-date distribution of aquatic invasive species in the state as we can. Now, we understand that at times there may be AIS present that we're not aware of. However, if we're able to document it, we want to update that, both our maps but also our physical signage, just so folks have a better idea. We do this internally and externally. We partner with lake associations, just the public in general. We have what's called a citizen monitoring protocol or portal where just anybody, if they're out and they think they see an aquatic invasive species, they can go on the SD Least Wanted website and report that to us. We also distribute settler samplers for zebra mussels. Basically, if somebody that has waterfront property and they have, say, a dock or a boat lift is curious about or wanting to help us sample for aquatic invasive species like zebra mussels, we'll hand them this monitoring device. They can attach it to the dock in the spring, pull it out in the fall when they remove that infrastructure and report that finding. It's very straightforward, but it helps us out, again, because it just increases our observances in the field, if you will. And then our staff, we utilize their field surveys because they're sampling water bodies across the state all summer. And so with that, when they're out conducting a standard lake survey of fish populations, they can stick around for an hour or two and incorporate some AIS sampling as well. And so on an annual basis, we're sampling about 100 water bodies on a given year. So that will happen as well. And then certainly our state parks, when we've got staff out in the field, we have opportunities for them to sample for AIS. And again, all this goes into our distribution map so that we can update the public to the best of our ability. Covering our in-person engagement, our watercraft inspections, we have started inspections at a few locations across the state, but that's really going to get going here in the next couple weeks as the majority of our summer staff show up as they finish college. We have a lot of intern staff that are doing this, as well as some of our contractors here in western South Dakota. And so with that, we're really ramping up to get started for Memorial Day. The Aquatic Invasive Species Coordinator Tanner in the next 2 weeks will be on the road training staff across the state and really be rolling out this program here in the next couple weeks, and those inspections will start rolling in. The way that we approach it, in western South Dakota, because we function more like western states with fewer water bodies, fewer access areas, we conduct access-based inspections. Central South Dakota, Missouri River, again, access-based, in a lot of cases here is that we can be more mobile. And then additionally, in water bodies that are muscle positive, we'll conduct exit inspections. So the idea will be watercraft leaving a water body versus coming in. The idea is more of a containment approach than a prevention approach. Eastern South Dakota, we also have a roving crew that will show up at random water bodies, random access points throughout the summer. And then we also implement a roadside crew that's roving in eastern South Dakota. So this would set up on the interstate or certain highways. The idea would be that because there's so many water bodies in eastern South Dakota, we can encounter more users with our time by setting up on roads that might encounter users for multiple water bodies than simply being at one boat ramp. The goal there is to maximize contacts with our staff time in the field. The application that we use to capture our data is a Western model that ties into Western states. The idea there is that we share information with other agencies that are using that same app. So the idea is that data is live. So as they bring in information from watercraft inspections, we can see that, and then vice versa. So if there's a positive hit or a watercraft that, for example, has AIS on it and does need a decontamination, that information is shared with our Western partners as well. And then during our AIS inspections, our watercraft inspections, we do have law enforcement there, not all the time, but during a portion of it as well, and that certainly helps with the inspections. We also engage our interested partners. On an annual basis, we reach out to our lake association contacts. We have a contact list of over 30 lake associations. That, again, has happened here in 2025. The ones that are interested in partnering, we certainly have conversations with them, and that could be anything from simply sharing information or partnering on preventative signage, things along those lines. We can tailor an approach really specific to what a lake association is looking to do for that water body that they're located on. And then with all of our printed information and also our digital communication, we have our AIS communication, so folks can reach out to us on sdleastwanted.sd.gov, or individual staff such as myself or Tanner Davis, our aquatic invasive species coordinator. Big thing is we want to get communication contacts out there, so if folks have a question or think they found AIS, they know who to contact or have a way to report that. Additionally, we support a lot of AIS research here in the state. We certainly rely on research that's happening in other parts of the country, and we utilize that in the program that we put on the ground, but we also fund a lot on our own. We have a lot of partners that we do this research with as well. Currently in 2025, we have 10 projects that are currently underway. The partners for those projects include the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Missouri River Basin states, so this is a work group of states within that Missouri River Basin, Mississippi River Basin as well, SDSU, and then our partner to the north, North Dakota Game and Fish. So the big thing is, again, we do utilize research that happens outside of South Dakota, but we are also very actively engaged in conducting research on AIS here in South Dakota. We also have built AIS into our education programs here across the state in our outdoor campuses. They've been able to incorporate AIS into a number of different programs. And then additionally, we're able to partner with SDSU and 4-H to develop a specific curriculum for middle schools, for example, that's been distributed across the state so that they can incorporate that into their schoolrooms, to be honest. So again, just different ways that we're trying to get the word out. So with that, I'd be more than happy to take any questions that the commission may have. This last slide just kind of talks about, just shows that clean drain dry method that we push, that message is, it's also a very similar message that neighboring states use as part of their AIS program as well. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Very good, thank you. Commissioner White.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Jake, I guess I was just looking for some kind of an example of how this is impacting. I'm just three things I'm looking at. One of the first lakes that AIS was detected in, how long ago, and then what is the status of that lake today?
To the chair. Yeah, so Commissioner White, the example I use would be zebra mussels. So their first detection was Lewis and Clark in 2014, confirmed in 2015. There was a single individual found in 2014, and then numerous in 2015. So that's the way that we define it or would confirm it as a second positive independent detection. But really, you can go back to, say, 2014 for that water body for zebra mussels. The way that we would monitor it from a fishery standpoint is through our standard lake surveys of fish populations. So that's what we would look at impacts, because when we conduct our annual surveys, the idea there is that you're establishing trend data that would be indicative of population over time with a number of different stressors, environmental, biological, all those sort of things that play into it. So zebra mussels or AIS are just a piece of the puzzle, if you will. But again, that's how we would track fish populations and certainly the things that we're interested in and our users are interested in. To this point, we haven't seen any impact, say, to walleye growth, walleye abundance, or anything along those lines to a fish population that we would tie to zebra mussels or AIS. Now, what it may do in certain systems is change the fishing. For example, if water clarity increases, which is generally a side effect of mussels in a water body, it may change the fishing techniques, where fishing may occur. However, as far as abundance and growth, we have seen no negative impacts to this point to our fish populations.
Thank you.
Questions? Jake, I have two. I've been hearing about a decontamination tool where you can put it on a boat or something along those lines. Are those helpful tools? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what else is out there.
Sure. So, Madam Chair, a number of different products that are out there. As far as, say, a decontamination tool, I guess what my mind goes to is there's ways that you can flush hot water through, say, the lower unit where it's a fake a lake type thing where you put it over the water intakes and you can flush hot water through. We use that for our decon units and a number of other states do as well. It's also something that a private individual could purchase and use for their watercraft. So those are certainly options that are out there. Number of different ways for, say, clean, drain, dry. But again, it's going to be just the number, really kind of each specific case, if you will. But say that fake a lake is kind of what I'm thinking you're probably referring to, which is a tool that we use for our decontaminations.
Okay. The other question I have, I look at the report that you gave, and I'm very impressed with the department. I think they're doing a good job on educating, trying to make sure the communication is out there. What would be the next step in terms of user accountability? Would that be a tool that we can use? We've done so much to educate the public. When do we start putting that accountability on the user?
Madam Chair, the hope is right now. I mean, that's the idea. I mean, we would love to see 100% compliance with our, say, boat plug rule right now. We're at 98% statewide, which is very good. It's increased over the years. The question is, how many resources do you put to get from 98 to 100? When you look at things, say, like seatbelt compliance, rules that have been on the books for a long time, it's not likely that you have 100% seatbelt compliance. So the hard thing is at what level do you say that it really is on the user at this point? We've done all we can. And at some point, somebody's going to have to make a decision that they're either going to comply with regulations, do the right thing or they're not. And when we look at what's happened in this country over the last 40 years, the hard thing to look at, but realistic, is that it just has not stopped. When you look at neighboring states, they're not seeing 100% compliance. At some point, the users they really have to take it upon themselves. We can't be everywhere all the time. Maybe that's a message we need to start pushing more, that it really comes down to each individual every time. But at this point now, it's just trying to spread that education.
Very good. Additional questions? Seeing none. Very good report and update. Thank you. And I know you're going to stay with us for